This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I told you guys about this story we've got on our Montana Talks website. If you were with us in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, Montanans gather at Charlie Kirk Memorial in Arizona. We've got a full write-up there. And, of course, we'll be taking more phone calls here later in the morning as well. But here's the other story we've got. Deranged Border Patrol protesters continue antics in Whitefish. Death threats, protests, throwing plywood at Border Patrol vehicles, doxing Border Patrol agents, blocking traffic on Highway 93. Look at what the deranged left-wing Border Patrol protesters have been up to in Whitefish. And by the way, I don't think the protesters themselves are from even Whitefish. I think they're coming in from other parts of the area. One of the questions I threw out, if you missed it, at the very end of Friday's show, Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, she's now currently the vice chair of the Montana GOP. She spoke at the Glacier Country Pachyderm Club in Kalispell on Friday, but she called into the show at the very tail end of the show, and I asked her, I said, hey, given the violent tendencies here of some of these protesters going after our great men and women in the Border Patrol here in northwest Montana, could there be an Antifa connection? Anyway, you got to see her answer, MontanaTalks.com. Let's jump right into it. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here on this Monday. Evelyn, where do you want to start here? Thanks for being with us.
Well, if we're going to, it's kind of tough to figure out something that is just pure good news, because I know we want to talk about good news things first, but electricity demand is going to grow, and this is both good news and bad news, because you don't have an increase in demand for electricity without a growing economy, but it could be bad news if we fail to meet the demand. According to ICF, a global technology provider, U.S. electricity demand is expected to grow by 25% by 2030 and by 78% by 2050 compared to 2023. And all of this demand growth has significant implications for the reliability and affordability of electricity for residential customers. Electricity rates could increase by 15% to 40% by 2030, depending on the market, of course. By 2050, some rates might even double. The rapid growth of data centers to support AI technology, along with a wave of new manufacturing and oil and gas production, is causing this surge for industrial electricity. Electric vehicles, heat pumps, and other electric-hungry products are further adding to the demand. And
skyrocketing demand, yeah, frankly, of the amount of electricity that's needed. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Evelyn. This is one of those good news, bad news stories, because it could be great for Montana's economy, but we need the energy, right? Hold that thought. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the area today. High temperatures stay from the low to mid-60s. For tonight, clearing skies around the region. Overnight lows will be back in the upper 30s, around 40 in Bozeman, to the mid-40s in Billings. Then on Tuesday, we can expect sunshine with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. As Lyme disease continues to be a health concern, doctors are warning against unapproved treatments and tests. Medical professionals may use multiple approaches to diagnose Lyme disease, such as visual cues, a standard medical test that has limitations and information given by patients. Although many patients present with classic symptoms and are prescribed antibiotics, which usually takes care of it, there is a group of patients who may have months or years of different symptoms, which can overlap with other medical conditions. And that uncertainty has led to a plethora of new testing and treatment, which can actually do more harm than good. Experts say some of the treatments come with a big price tag and can go on for years. They say it's important to consult with a trusted medical professional to seek out a treatment plan if you suspect Lyme disease. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. Health Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Evelyn, I think this is another good news story here on the energy front. Well, a couple of things. First, yesterday I was at the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner in Ronan, and Congressman Ryan Zinke was there and gave a congressional update as well. And on the energy front, he mentioned that he does believe we are going to be moving towards small-scale, you know, nuclear modular reactors. So that was just one of the things he threw in there. And so I thought that was pretty interesting, because that's all the buzz you're hearing about the future of Colstrip, is not only keeping coal a part of the energy portfolio mix, but also, you know, adding in more to that energy hub like small-scale nuclear as well. So that was interesting. But I think this is a good news story out of eastern Montana. The Prairie County Commissioners, I got a note from Rick Holden, former state senator out of Glendive, the Prairie County Commissioners have voted to cap the height on these industrial wind turbines. And so, you know, you think about these gigantic, you know, wind turbines that they were going to be, they were proposing, you know, scattering these windmills all over eastern Montana, and the turbines would be taller than the First Interstate Bank building in downtown Billings, like way taller than the Space Needle in Seattle. And so apparently the Prairie County Commissioners have voted to limit the height of these wind turbines to 199 feet. So that's an update out of eastern Montana. Anyway, your thoughts on that?
Was there any, I know that there was a lot of pushback in, I don't know if it was Prairie County or which one, but regarding the wind project, a big one, and I don't know what happened to that, if it went forward, or if this is part of the same one, or
yeah, it's kind of part of all of it. Yeah, you've got folks in Terry, you know, you've got Prairie County, you've got folks in Dawson County, because there's, you know, these things are being planned all across that region. So yeah, significant pushback from across that whole region. You know, it reminded me of my wife Jessica found this old tweet from Charlie Kirk back in 2013 when he was in Montana, and he said basically that Montana is, let me pull up the exact message here that he actually shared here, instead of just going off of memory, because I've got it on our Montana Talks website. He said this, Charlie Kirk said this, Montana is where God decided to paint his masterpiece. And so I thought about that when I was thinking about these windmills. It's like, oh yeah, here, Montana, it's the state where God decided to paint his masterpiece. And then here we are just throwing windmills at it. Like splatter on a beautiful painting. Gee, thanks. Thanks for ruining the painting, right?
Well, they're not being built so fast now that they removed all the federal subsidies, because it's not economically feasible without subsidies. And so, you know, maybe some of this demand and push will, you know, dissipate as the money goes away. And, you know, I'm not a person. I mean, to me, if the market doesn't justify it, then nothing ever will. It's always going to, it's costing you more, even if you're paying it in taxes and don't know it. It's costing you more than you realize, and it's not serving the economy well or meeting the demand. So anyway, I just am not surprised that without the subsidies, there's no big interest in alternative energies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably interest, and I honestly believe that if they want alternative energies, you have to remove the subsidies so that the technology develops to get the efficiencies rather than the subsidies, because when you subsidize something, making it better or making it economical stops because people want those subsidies.
Well, look, I was on Capitol Hill. I was working in the U.S. Senate when the whole wind energy tax credit discussion first came about and it was first getting put into place. It was always designed, things like that, support for these alternative energies, was always designed to be very short in duration as a jump start to get these alternative energies online. And it was never meant to stay in place as long as it has now. And so the time has come. It's time to just do away with this nonsense. And plus, what have we seen since that point 25 plus years ago? We've seen, you know, the rocking of the Bakken and other shale formations all across America. So it's just completely unnecessary at this point.
Yeah. And again, though, if you want to see that technology develop, it has to be on free market footing so it can compete on its own and really encourage people to develop the technology, because you're not going to develop the technology if you're going to be underbid by subsidies. And So, I mean, and I think some of the ideas are very, very, innovative and exciting, but it's not going to go anywhere as long as people are making money on just collecting government subsidies and taxpayer money.
Yeah. I was just thinking of this as we head to this next break here, Evelyn. I want to see if we can get your take on this story. Did you see the story about the Montana Rescue Mission? At the Montana Rescue Mission, the head of the Montana Rescue Mission, this report came out. He was getting paid $275,000, and he's the head of a homeless shelter in Billings,
the
Montana.
Week ahead. Monday, it's the autumnal equinox, and therefore the official start of fall. Also, Fat Bear Week kicks off. The annual online competition pits 12 of some of the largest brown bears at Alaska's Katmai National Park against each other in a bracket-style tournament. Tuesday, President Trump will be in New York addressing world leaders at the UN General Assembly. The president's remarks come as the Russia-Ukraine conflict rages on and Israel's military operation in Gaza expands. Also Tuesday, residents of Arizona's 7th Congressional District will be heading to the polls for a special election to fill former Congressman Raul Grijalva's seat. Thursday, Sean Diddy Combs will be back in a New York City courtroom where the former hip-hop mogul will argue for his acquittal on the two prostitution-related charges he was convicted of in July. The defense argues the charges should either be tossed or Diddy be given a new trial. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Coming up on Monday's Montana Talks, Attorney General Austin Knutson joining us for the full hour, taking your phone calls and more. Yeah, full hour with Attorney General Austin Knutson. We're going to get the latest on changes coming out of the Trump administration. Of course, Attorney General Austin Knutson was leading the charge to stand up against the federal overreach of the Biden administration. Plus, what's going on right here in Montana? The best attorney general in the country, Austin Knutson, Monday's Montana Talks right here.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag. with Lane Nordlund.
On Thursday, the United States Senate confirmed three nominees for critical positions at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The nominees included were part of a package of 48 sub-candidate-level nominees, all whom received bipartisan support when they were considered by the respective committees. The final confirmation vote on the package and nominees was 51 to 47. The three USDA nominees include Richard Fordyce to serve as the Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Dudley Hoskins to serve as the Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, and Scott Hutchins to serve as the Undersecretary of Agriculture for Research, Education, and Economics. In other USDA news, the Department of Interior and USDA have announced the coordinated action to create the U.S. Wildland Fire Service to modernize wildfire management nationwide. Fire seasons are longer, fire intensity increasing, and suppression and recovery costs are soaring. The Department of Interior has issued Secretarial Order 3443, which directs the establishment of the U.S. Wildland Fire Service with a plan for the implementation to occur in January 2026. USDA also released its own memorandum that outlines plans to modernize and strengthen America's wildfire prevention and response system. I'm Lane Nordlund.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I just realized I was clicking too many buttons there during the break. It accidentally hung up on our friend Evelyn Pyburn, but thankfully I got her right back on the phone lines here. Yeah, Evelyn, thanks for joining us here every Monday as we get back to business. Evelyn, I got to get your take on this because, you know, I was seeing these news headlines, you know, in the Billings Gazette, KTVQ Television, about the Montana Rescue Mission, and the executive director was, they were launching an internal investigation to address complaints from some of the staff that worked there. And so I'm seeing the headlines and I'm kind of reading the stories and I'm like, okay, what's the story here? Are these legit complaints? Are they not complaints? Well, then I saw the headline that, yeah, he's being fired. He's basically being let go. And then down towards the bottom of one of the stories, I read this guy is in charge of the homeless shelter in Billings, Montana, and he's making $275,000 a year. Are you freaking kidding me? Running a homeless shelter. Now, I see that, well, he runs three different organizations. Well, then volunteer your time for the rescue mission. It just drives me nuts because there's so many examples. You know, these people that run some of these nonprofit organizations, oh, I'm just a humble servant running a nonprofit. And, oh, all of you other people, give me money and help us out. And we're busting our butts, and these people are raking in the dough, way more money than the rest of us are making. And we're busting our freaking tails off out here. Oh, but I run a humble, lowly nonprofit. I am so sick of this crap.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think that might tip the $275,000 might tip the scale as being the highest amount. But a couple years ago, I became aware that quite a few of the heads of especially mental health kinds of facilities and stuff were making huge six-figure income, and you know, I hesitate to say without much being able to show much benefit for this cost, but at the same time, you know, that I know the county commissioners were pushing back against it and scratching their heads about it too. It's kind of frustrating, I think, to know how much struggle there has been in making any headway in addressing the issues of mental health and other kinds of problems that are confronting people in the city and these people are making lots of money without much what's the word for it? without having
oversight or accountability or
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
And I think that's changed a little bit, but yeah, that I just was pretty stunned, and I think so were the county commissioners back then too, because until they started getting reports, I don't think they knew that.
Yeah, and it's sad too, because you know, you think of the Montana Rescue Mission as one of the better run homeless shelters in the state of Montana, and so you know, credit for that. But again, you're running this organization and you're making nearly $300,000 a year, and I just think it's, again, it's why so many of the private sector working class folks and property taxpayers just feel so disrespected, because you've got all these so-called nonprofits out there that are profiting a heck of a lot more on a personal level than the rest of us are. You've got government employees that oftentimes make outrageous sums. I mean, Dr. Fauci, look how much money that guy was making. Shouldn't even call him doctor. And yet we, the people, just constantly get disrespected. And you know, from a property tax standpoint, you know, these nonprofits sure bring in a lot of money, but they sure don't put into the property tax pie. But boy, they're the first ones in line arguing in support of this levy or that levy and raising property taxes on the rest of us, because their little nonprofit doesn't have to pay those property taxes. And so they can rake in all the money they want, not have to worry about paying property taxes on their so-called nonprofit. It is just so disgusting. Man, I tell you what, that really set me off. Well, on a lighter note, Evelyn, can you stick with us for a few more minutes here after the Fox sure. News update? Okay, great. This was funny. Evelyn and I were talking during the break. She's got a headline in the Big Sky Business Journal: Robert Redford's impact on Montana. You guys know the Hollywood actor Robert Redford. You know, I'm an 80s, 90s kid, so I even asked my wife the other day. I was like, what's the deal with Robert Redford? Why is everybody making such – I mean, I know he was a good actor. I remember him from, you know, A River Runs Through It and The Horse Whisperer, but what's the big deal with Robert Redford? And Evelyn says, oh, let me tell you about Robert Redford. So anyway, we'll get to the lighter side of things on that front here right after this. I think my aunts probably had Robert Redford posters in their lockers up on the High Line in Glasgow. I get it that he was a good actor. He did some Montana-specific films. But Evelyn Pyburn, as I was seeing all these news stories about Robert Redford and Robert Redford's impact on Montana, you know, I wasn't trying to be negative, but I was just saying, hey, what's the deal with Robert Redford? So, Evelyn, you tell us, what's the deal with Robert Redford?
Well, Aaron, the first time I saw Robert Redford was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and I went to it because Paul Newman was in it. And it's the first time I ever saw Robert Redford. And man, let me tell you, the first time he was up on that screen, it just took my breath away. He was terribly good looking. He just stole the show from Paul Newman, as far as I was concerned. And I don't think he ever made a bad movie, whether he was an actor in it or producer, director, or whatever. But for Montana, he was the first to make a movie more so than Yellowstone that put Montana on the map.
Yeah.
He was a producer of A River Runs Through It, which, since it was made 33 years ago, there may be people out there who've never heard of it, but not only did Redford's film of River Runs Through It, it was filmed in Montana, but also it was a book written by Norman MacLean, who was a noted Montana author. And the story was very touching, and the filming was just beautiful. And of course, Montana scenery come through. So it not only generated huge interest in Montana, but it also resurrected fly fishing as a really popular sport. And that impact remains today. Each year, it's estimated that 1 million people come to Montana to fly fish. And last year, it is projected to have raised $375 million for our economy. So
Yeah, you look at like Sims fishing products and so much of the outdoor industry you could probably trace back, especially when it comes to fly fishing, to that very film. And so, yeah, young ladies like you had Robert Redford posters on the locker. And then the young ladies in the 90s, because of that same film, probably had Brad Pitt posters on their lockers in the 90s as a result. Evelyn, great to get your insight as always. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Yeah, one of my favorite quotes was from a friend of mine. His family, Eigen Graf, his family goes back to the 1800s in Bozeman, and he joked once about the show Yellowstone. Everybody was complaining about the show Yellowstone, and, well, Yellowstone's bringing all these people to Montana. And then Eigen made a funny joke. He said, yeah, all the people complaining about the show Yellowstone bringing these people to Montana or bringing these people to Bozeman are the same people who came to Bozeman because of the movie A River Runs Through It. They're the same people now complaining that Yellowstone is bringing other people to Bozeman. I always got a kick out of that.
Hey,
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, I'm going to share more highlights from the Charlie Kirk official celebration of life in Arizona yesterday. They said on the Federalist.com, 100 million. That's how many people heard this message yesterday, and it wasn't a funeral. It was a revival, as it's been described by so many. But yeah, the Federalist.com has this headline, 100 million witnessed the power of the gospel and forgiveness at Charlie Kirk Memorial. I say it was the official celebration of life for Charlie Kirk because there have been celebrations of life all over the country, all over the world, frankly. Secretary of State Marco Rubio talked about coming back to the United States and stopping in several different countries as Secretary of State, and how every country he stopped in expressed their condolences for the loss of this great American patriot, Charlie Kirk. We'll share some more highlights from that coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, there were celebrations of life in Great Falls over the weekend. Polson, last Thursday, I was at the one in Kalispell. Huge turnout there. Polson, they were telling me yesterday they had probably 400 people show up at last Thursday's celebration of life in Polson for Charlie Kirk as well. And I heard, you know, Polson, what – you have a college campus just south of Polson. You've got the Salish Kootenai College, Tribal College, there in Lake County. And they told me there were a number of young people from the Salish Kootenai College that were also at the Charlie Kirk celebration of life. So, you know, we talk about Montana State University holding a celebration of life. UM holding a celebration of life for Charlie Kirk. Well, even young people from Salish Kootenai College and the Tribal College showing up for the celebration of life as well. Rock in the middle of nowhere. I'll tell you what, Rock, I just realized I wasn't looking closely enough at my calendar here. So I see we've got a guest on the phone. Rock, I'm going to have you call back in. I apologize. I was going to get right to Rock calling in from the middle of the nowhere. But, Rock, give us a call back. Call right back into the studio line, and then I need to have Caden send me, patch me through to Jeff Manasso. I see we've got Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio with us now on the phone lines. Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. Jeff, and I was talking earlier in the 6 o'clock hour of the show about this incredible celebration of life for Charlie Kirk. How many people did they pack into that stadium? And then they had to use an old NHL hockey arena just for an overflow crowd yesterday. It was remarkable.
Yeah, it was about 100,000 people that came in from across the country, many from other countries that showed up essentially for church yesterday in what was a faith revival here in Glendale. I know, which we heard from faith leaders and friends of Charlie Kirk and from some of the most powerful people in the world in honoring this young man who at 31 built a movement that supporters say will be felt for generations. We heard from President Trump saying that Charlie's assassination happened because he lived boldly in honor of faith and patriotism and freedom, and that the gun that was aimed at Charlie was aimed at all of us. That people around the world will not only not forget Charlie Kirk, but that history won't forget him. But it was Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, who really moved the room in one of the most powerful speeches that I have heard. And you look, this happened to me, or this happened to you, my friend. Could you forgive? I don't know, but she professed for forgiveness. She forgives the man who took her husband's life. And when she said that, it was just, you could hear this roar, and everybody just stood on their feet. And just to share a little personal story about how powerful that was, I was on the floor in that stadium in the press section, and generally the press are kind of like robots. I mean, there's no emotion. Generally, they don't even stand for the national anthem, many of them. But after she said that she forgives her husband's killer, you had members of the press, some of them were standing with their arms in the air, and some of them were crying. I've never seen that before.
Wow.
It's pretty powerful.
I was going to say, when you just said here in Glendale, I was like, oh, wow, you were actually there covering the event in person, because normally you're based out of Chicago. It just had to be just incredible to be there in person. I was, you know, I had to go speak at a dinner yesterday afternoon, a Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, and so I wasn't able to watch the ceremony live, but just listening to the music as everybody was packing into the stadium was just some of the most beautiful, remarkable music I've ever heard. And a young man who's a 25-year-old state legislator up here in Montana was there. He used to be a Turning Point USA ambassador, and he said this wasn't a funeral, this was a revival.
It was a revival, and TPUSA had said that people around the world yesterday were going to hear the gospel of Jesus, and we heard that in just about every aspect of every speech, of every song, every aspect of the entire event. It's what we heard, there's this sense of hope and peace that there really was tangible. If you're human, I mean, you could feel it. This connection between people here celebrating what Charlie meant to them and what it means to their faith, maybe their renewed faith. I mean, look at Elon Musk. He was there, a self-professed atheist. Go look at his ex account and what he tweeted or posted yesterday following his appearance there. This event really touched people, the people here, and likely many millions more at home. And, you know, I spent a couple of days at TPUSA, the headquarters, where people, is the same story as me. Getting off the airplane, you get the rental car, and you go straight towards TPUSA. People had to see it. We talked to people from Russia, many people from Canada, people from across Europe that were there, and as well as across our country that were there, and just, you know, complete strangers, you know, dropping notes of remembrance and cards and flowers and Bible verses and booklets of the Constitution and all of that. But complete strangers holding hands and praying together. It's just been a powerful couple of days, and that's a testament to Charlie Kirk. And by the way, you know, we're seeing the impact that he had, as TPUSA reports. They had about 2,100 chapters prior to his death. But now some 70,000 requests have come in for new high school and college chapters to continue his message of faith and patriotism and freedom. New chapters around the country, but also around the world. TPUSA is now a global force because of this. And Erica Kirk now carries the torch for that mission, and they say that these campus tours, they're going to continue and as planned, with a stop tonight in the Twin Cities, another stop in the coming days back in Utah, as the mission continues. And I've covered a lot But this was a really powerful memorial.
As I was at this dinner yesterday, speaking in front of the crowd at the Lake County Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, there was, you know, several young people there. And I asked a couple of the young people, I said, okay, you guys obviously knew who Charlie Kirk was. You followed Charlie Kirk before. But how many of you now, a dozen of your friends, are reaching out because they want to learn more about Charlie Kirk and what he stood for? And they shook their heads earnestly. And even, you know, some of the older crowd is now saying, like, you know, they didn't really know who Charlie Kirk was because he kind of appealed to the younger crowd. And now they can't get enough. They're hanging on every recorded word that Charlie Kirk had to say, basically.
It's wild. I mean, now after his death, I mean, some of his videos, you're talking about views in the billions. We talked to one man who brought his daughter from Canada, who said that Charlie Kirk's death, what it did was sealed his Christian and conservative values in his organization and the mission in his blood and in the minds and hearts of people for generations and young people. We've seen story after story of young people flocking to churches now.
Yeah, church fees filling up all across America.
It's remarkable the reach that he has. And quite frankly, I'm not sure that even he knew that he had that kind of reach.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Well, Jeff Manasso, great to have you on the show this morning, especially to get your firsthand view of what it was like to be there in the stadium for this incredible event. And, yeah, it's not just a revival for America, a revival for Canada, a revival for Korea, a revival being felt all across the world right now. Jeff Manasso, appreciate your time. Thanks, as always. Quick break. Rock. Calling in from the middle of nowhere. Hey, Rock, give us a call back in. Yeah, I got behind on my schedule and forgot we had a guest lined up there. So, Rock, call back right now. We want to hear from you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
A Michigan mayor told an American citizen he's not welcome in his own city. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
At a Dearborn City Council meeting, a longtime resident and American citizen stood up and voiced concern over newly installed street signs honoring Osama Sablani, publisher of the Arab American News. He pointed out that Sablani has a history of praising terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and shouldn't be honored. While Dearborn's Mayor Abdullah Hamoud, a public servant who's supposed to represent all of Dearborn, not just its Muslim population, unloaded on him. He called him a racist and an Islamophobe, and he had the audacity to tell an American citizen he's not welcome in his own city for daring to question whether taxpayer-funded honors should go to someone with a history of praising anti-American terrorist groups. That's not just offensive, it's BS. When an elected official tells dissenting citizens to get out because they disagree with him, that is not leadership. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see considerable cloudiness and some scattered showers and a few thunder showers around the area today. High temperatures stay from the low to mid-60s. For tonight, clearing skies around the region. Overnight lows will be back in the upper 30s, around 40 in Bozeman, to the mid-40s in Billings. Then on Tuesday, we can expect sunshine with high temperatures in the low to mid-70s for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
All right, we've now got an update on our Montana Talks website to a story that we shared with you earlier this week exclusively. Now we have an official response from school district 2 that yes, they are investigating this teacher, and the teacher has been sent home while they investigate after allegedly this teacher was celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. That full story, go to
myapple.com to start the conversation today. Planning ahead isn't about saying goodbye. It's about caring for those you love most.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, spot on message from Tim and Savage here. Tim says this. He's out there on the Mondakistan border, on the Montana-North Dakota border. He says, I'm getting so tired of Jasmine Crockett and others claiming that Charlie spoke hateful rhetoric. Prove it. Prove it. No, Tim, you're exactly right. They can't prove it. All they can do is lie. That's all they do. They just throw stuff at the wall. They just make stuff up, and they hope it sticks. Because with so much of their far-left base, they'll believe it. They will believe anything that Ilhan Omar says. They will believe anything that Jazzy Crockett says. And it's a crock of you-know-what. I even saw, what was this? Was this a KPAX TV Facebook story? No, I think it was NBC Montana or somebody. They were streaming the Charlie Kirk Celebration of Life yesterday on their website. And some left-winger filled full of hate himself. That's why they always project this. They are the ones that hate people because of their beliefs. They are the bigots. What is a bigot? A bigot hates somebody else because of their beliefs. You and I don't hate people because of their beliefs. We just disagree with them. But if you tell them that you disagree with them, they hate you. This guy comments and he says, why are you streaming this, you know, racist, blah, 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 blah. And people commented and responded to him and said, prove it. Prove it. And the guy can't. All the guy could do was lie about it. And you know who the guy was? According to his profile, he is a former journalism professor at the University of Montana. And speaking as somebody who's a graduate of the School of Journalism at the University of Montana, that guy is a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, just like so much of the industry is an absolute disgrace. Speaking of Jazzy Crockett, did you guys hear Jazzy Crockett and what she had to say about crime and criminals?
Jasmine Crockett making unbelievably stupid comments about crime. Watch this.
I do want people to know that just because someone has committed a crime, it doesn't make them a criminal. That is completely different. Being a criminal is more so about your mindset. Committing a crime can come for a lot of different reasons.
It's kind of like a crime of survival. If you're like you stole like diapers because you have no money versus a criminal mindset, which is like I'm gonna evade taxes.
Yep.
I'm gonna be super duper corrupt.
Yeah.
Emily, quite revealing revelations there. I guess we didn't know what a criminal was.
I was laughing especially at just, you know, the Zoolander-esque response of people who listen to this drivel and, oh, yes. I mean, it is so patently offensive when we exist in a society too. I am curious to know her thoughts then on, upon a felony conviction, why everything from insurance to credit cards get canceled, our bank accounts get canceled, the rising population of U.S. veterans in the incarcerated state, of single mothers, the largest increasing population in prisons, and so much more, that when she talks like she's behind this pulpit, why can't there be a substance that might actually help her constituents? I am shocked as well by the audacity of some kind of statement like that, because to what end? And then do you look, for example, a woman in the face who was pistol whipped and punched and had her jaw shattered, in addition to being punched with shards of glass in a thing so that there was blood and water pouring out of her mouth, and you're going to tell her, well, just because you're victimized, you weren't a victim, or just because this person did this violent crime, they're not a criminal?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. The commie Mamdani, this communist candidate for mayor of New York City that is the Democrat candidate for mayor right now, has said that very thing, where he doesn't think the police should be responding to domestic violence cases. Isn't it interesting that a radical Islamist like the commie Mamdani would advocate for something like that. Got a message from Paul in Bozeman on the Montana Talks app. He says, Aaron, the news said this morning that there were more like 200,000 people at Charlie Kirk's celebration, counting the overflow area. Wouldn't surprise me at all, Paul. Yeah, 100 million, though, worldwide. Got to hear that message yesterday.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right,
check the backseat.
That's in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.